Is it a wallet? Is it a gun? A Critique of Hume, 1968, by Terence Cannon, Part 1. DC Drove talked rapidly, Kathy listening through the dark and the glow of the panel light. Forgot to look around him, or he would never have turned south on Union Street, never ended up under a broken street light among green metal walls, wasteland weeds, corrugated sheds, around the corner from the desiccated houses where the Oakland cops poured bullets into little Bobby Hutton's back. Before he could think, what am I doing, what brought this on, or even the proto-thought, shit, the whirling red lights hit the rearview mirror in his face. If I can make it another block, there's more houses, he said. Don't, said Kathy, they'll take it as flight. Pull over. Here? Bad as any. The patrol car eased behind them. Kathy pushed down the door handle, clicked the door unlocked. Don't get out, said DC. If they see I'm white, no. Let them come to us. Don't break protocol. He rolled down his window. Don't reach for anything. Look back in casual curiosity. Two in the front. I think that's all. They're checking the plates. Even with the window open on the night, there seemed not enough air in the car. You're not armed, are you? She asked. No. I will watch every detail, she thought, where each person is, what they say, what motions they make, and the terrible underlying reason for the trial, the inquest. The driver approached the car with care. The other cop stayed inside. Only one, she said. Huh, said DC, meaning odd. The officer was black, not that it mattered. His flashlight broke up the car's interior, lingered on Kathy's face. Your license and registration, please. They're in my wallet, said DC, which I am taking from my jacket pocket. I'm watching, said the cop, whose name plate Kathy could not read. DC held the documents out. The cop studied them. Step out of the car, please, Mr. Baines. Kathy opened her door as DC did. You'll have to stay inside the car, miss. But with the car door fully closed, she pulled it till it clicked, swiveled to watch them. Step behind the car, please, sir. They walked into the field of patrol car headlights. Kathy counted the steps, memorized the positions of the two men, craned to see the other officer sitting in the black and white. The cop's nameplate read Toads. He was about the same build as DC, wore glasses. You are familiar with the writings of David Hume, asked Toads. Can't say as I am. British philosopher, 1711 to 1776. He could find no justification for the concept that the course of nature, or more particularly, experience, is uniform. The experience is, said DC, full of surprises. True, but we cannot even have experiences without a stable world in which events are, in some way, if not predictable, at least capable of being anticipated. To use a concrete example, Mr. Bain, suppose you could never be sure that your next step was not into oblivion, that with one foot planted on the sidewalk there, your next step would hurl you into nothingness. It would be hard to walk, said DC. Or, if I were to turn my head, I could never be sure there would still be a patrol car with my partner seated in it where it was a second ago. I understand the problem. Then, you would agree with the Oakland Police Department's critique of Hume's inquiry concerning human understanding. Hume could find no proof that our next experience would be in any way in keeping with our last. Radical skepticism, to say the least. One must be able to anticipate, or go mad. The human mind requires constant proof that our immediate future conforms to our immediate past. Without that proof, one loses one's sense of self, particularly a policeman. Really? Imagine the fate of the officer who fails to anticipate and therefore perceive the glint of a gun barrel, the bulge in a pocket, the silver of light from a light, knife, mortally wounded, dead. And what has this to do with me, besides enlightenment? Are you armed? No. But I'd set a bad example for my partner if I didn't check. Hands over your head, bat, bat, bat. Lower your arms. So you did not anticipate my having a gun. Quite the opposite. I anticipated you not having a gun. Others, my partner, for example, who was staring at us suspiciously, would differ. Are you saying that his anticipation of the immediate future differs from yours? A good point, Mr. Baines, and relevant. The continuity we were discussing has a beginning and an end. It begins, in our case, with the concept of D.C. Baines. My partner, Officer Cockerell, would begin his encounter with you by taking as his immediate past his knowledge of you as a scowling, hostile, black radical, and mischief maker. His immediate future would conform to that. Perhaps because I'm black, went to school with your uncle, with your cousin Fred, now Malik, and watched you play basketball at McClyman's High, I, Officer Toad, possess a specific past as relates to any encounter with you. One reason I did not immediately pat you down. Officer Cockerell, on the other hand, has a completely different, one might say opposite, set of opinions when it comes to you. End part one.